Hey everyone, and welcome to Ball Talk, the podcast where we'll discuss upcoming sports events, and in this first episode we'll be discussing the Commanders' number 2 pick. In future episodes we'll feature the NCAA tournament, MLB preview, golf, NBA playoffs, college lacrosse, whatever pops up that seems relevant to talk about.
Sure.
Yeah, this is Ben here. I'm a DC native, and so I'm all in on the Commanders this year. We're going to win the Super Bowl, ain't no doubt about it.
Nice introduction. I like that. Fun fact about yourself. We're going to win the Super Bowl. This is Robert, Silver Spring native. Commanders are going to win the Super Bowl. I don't know much further than he said.
I'm just here to monitor the situation. I've been in DC since 2002, so know a good bit about the Commanders Washington Redskins franchise.
Totally. Nick Rosenberg, otherwise known Nicky Rosé.
Whoa.
On the mic. Long-time Commanders fan, DC sports fan broadly. I guess one thing to kind of start off with, and we mentioned some of our bona fides as Commanders fans, historic franchise.
Mm.
I think that's an important thing to start off with.
Oh, yeah.
Understanding the history of the team informs where we're going from here. And I guess not to start off with one of the hottest takes potentially on the podcast, but it's one that I feel strongly about. I think the Commanders, Washington football team franchise, mm-hmm. our words as
whatever we want to call it,
very liberally early sure. on, potentially sleeping giant of the NFL.
Wow.
Sleeping giant franchise, potentially in all of professional sports.
I like the hottest take and the first take.
I feel like you got to start off hot. There's no other way to start. Well, I mean, we've all lived through it, being Commanders fans over the past 25 years or so since Dan Snyder bought the team. And I don't want to harp on the negativity of the last 25 years. Not going to spend time going through all the crazy details, the vanilla ice cream, the Albert Haynesworth contract, some of the crazy roster moves that happened under Snyder, the no walking into the stadium rule that existed for a long period of time at FedEx Field. But what I do want to start with is where this team was before he purchased the franchise. And this helps make my case that we are the sleeping giants of the NFL. But before Snyder bought the team, the Commanders were in a strong position. If you look back on this team historically, at the time, and there have been more playoff games added and so on, so inflated stats since then, but in 1999, the Commanders had the third most playoff wins of all time.
Jeez.
Number one Cowboys, number two Pittsburgh Steelers, number three, the Washington Redskins. 49ers close behind as well. If you think about Hall of Famers in 1999, Commanders had the fourth most as well. Tied for third, technically. You got the Bears, the Packers, two historic franchises, two original football teams, Steelers, and the Redskins Commanders tied for third. And then when you look in 2000 franchise values, Commanders were number one.
Jeez.
So we're nowhere close on any of those stats today. The last 25 years has been tough.
Yeah.
But I think that's helpful grounding as we think about where the team can go from here. Having reasonable, thoughtful ownership at the helm, I think that puts us in a strong position moving forward. And so I guess to kind of kick it off for the group, interested in what you guys are most excited about with this team moving forward. I'm going to do like a little round-robin draft. Each person gets to make their pick, make their case as to why their item is most exciting for the team.
Ben, you want to kick things off?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, honestly, the Commanders have a lot of money. We have new ownership, right? I think one of the things that like attracts people to a franchise is the idea of like not only the money they make on the field, but the money they make off the field, right? And so we've kind of had this like fan base that hasn't been that, you know, is still loyal, but just not as loyal as they used to be. But they're definitely still there, right? You look at, like, the Cowboys. You look at, like, the 49ers. If you go to one of those teams, you're making, you know, and you're a good player, you're making money on the field, but it's the off-the-field combo, like, Cowboys contracts that, like, attracts a guy to, like, that city, right? You come to the Commanders, I'm not sure what you're thinking you're going to get off the field. Like, you're getting, like, the local pizza joints and the local, like, auto, like, sales and things like that.
Which are good.
which are fantastic.
They're delicious.
Eastern Motors, right.
Paisanos, good pizza, great pizza.
Right. I don't want to name drop, you know.
Right.
Things that like supported my childhood right there.
We don't want them coming after the podcast, yeah.
And if people haven't seen the Eastern Motors Clinton Portis commercials, then I definitely recommend going on YouTube and checking those out. But you know, besides that, that's a lot of money given up by these guys, right? And it's a, you know, money talks, right? And so I'm ready for new ownership coming in, revamping everything, bring the stadium back into the city, get some excitement going again. Obviously wins, you know, generates that excitement. And so with that, I think you just have like a kind of a tidal wave that brings this franchise back in, right? It's winning money, and that's what we're about.
That kind of seems like two picks. You named like five things. Like, I don't mean to be the only judge.
If we're going to narrow it down to one, I would say money is the most, it's the most important thing. To get free agents, draft capital's there, revamping the stadium. I watched Adam Peters opening a press conference, and the one word that they kept saying over and over again was like alignment. That's never been the case before. Before, it's always just kind of been ripping it and see what the fuck happens. So alignment is probably one thing that I would say I'm looking forward to a lot. You know, and having an actual organization that's not dysfunctional is a great start. Just draft capital, money to spend, new stadium around the corner, new ownership. It's all sides pointing forward.
Money. There we go.
I'm not the biggest Commanders fan, but bringing the team back into the city would change, it would reverse a lot of trends. You know, we had the 49ers go from that kind of downtown San Francisco to Santa Clara, which is, for people that don't know, 30, 45 minutes outside the city. We had the Patriots place open up 45 minutes away from downtown Boston. Commanders have a real chance to reverse that trend, bring it back into the city, get people back entertained, get the young folks back involved in Commanders football.
And Grant, we all kind of introduce ourselves. Who are you a fan of for the viewers?
I'm a fan of the San Francisco 49ers. Grew up in San Francisco. They won their first Super Bowl when I was 3 days old. Haven't won one since, but still, yeah.
49ers. Just want to get that on the record.
Yeah, on the record.
Kind of sounds like your bad luck for the Niners, Grant.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yikes.
Okay.
Well, I mean, there's only been one playoff win for the Commanders lifetime. So I guess
the other three of us are terrible luck for it. Yeah.
One playoff win, a game in which there was no offensive touchdown scored.
Yeah.
That Mark Brunell of our Arrington team.
It was electric.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to cast any aspersions on the choices that were made, although I think that everybody named like five different things. But just to summarize, I totally agree with Ben's salary cap. Really important. Really, really important as we look forward to the year ahead.
Yeah.
Alignment, I agree with Robert big time. Stadium coming back to D.C., cannot be more excited about that. House just voted to allow D.C. the opportunity to use that space and redevelop it appropriately. Mayor seems very interested in doing a deal with the Commanders, bring the team back, especially amid some challenges with the Capitals and the Wizards, which we will not get into on this episode, but potentially another episode in our future. And I'm surprised this hasn't come up yet, and I'm more skeptical and concerned about it than maybe the rest of you guys, and I think we'll be able to get into it. But the thing that isn't named here is the number two overall pick. And it's been a real challenge for us at the quarterback position for as long as we've been around, as long as we've been fans. Patrick Ramsey, Jason Campbell, Mark Brunell, the RG3 episode, other people that will not be named. Collins was in there, led us to a playoff berth, so more successful than some others. But it's a big question mark, I think, going into the draft. How will the Commanders use this number two pick?
Mark Sanchez.
Yeah, well, I think we've been...
Mark Sanchez, right. Mark Sanchez.
Josh Johnson.
Yeah,
we've been scarred by these QBs in the first round, right? Yeah. And like, if we kind of look at our history for the past, like, you know, rememberable 10 years or so, Kirk Cousins has got to be probably
the best quarterback.
Our best quarterback, right?
Best quarterback 21st century.
Right, sure. Captain Kirk. And he was not a first round pick, right?
Fourth round pick,
right? Yeah. Exactly. And so if that's where we're finding our guy, you look at like Dak Prescott, right? Like another person in our same division, that guy was another not a first round pick, right? And so do we spend it there? you know, how are we going to use that draft capital? Do we trade back and get away from this idea of like 1-2 top round quarterback? If it's a 50-50 shot on a quarterback up there, then it's scary. Or do we go for it and just take Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Best available according to ESPN in the draft. But right. That's the thing. I feel like Chase Young was best available at number 2, miss out on the quarterback then, but now he's not on the team. Didn't even right. get a second.
Well, he sent him to your 49ers. Right. Yeah.
What? How many right. tackles for losses in the playoffs for Chase Young?
Oh,
1?
Yeah.
2?
Not great.
Nothing.
A run stop viability for sure.
Could this be like the first good move by the Commanders, like trading away yeah. Chase Young just to bring him back cheaper? That's a very un-Commanders move.
That's a Patriots-like type move, and I like that.
Right, that is like a Patriots-type move, yeah.
I will always look at Herbert and think about what could have been with that number 2 pick.
Yeah.
Robert, quarterback, not quarterback at 2?
I mean, it's impossible to say. Like, I think Grant and I have talked about this a lot. We think Caleb Williams is a tier of his own.
For sure.
We've watched a film on Drake May and Jaden Daniels, and Jaden Daniels, legit player, don't get me wrong, he's not nearly as explosive as a lot of people comp him out to Lamar Jackson. I have no idea why they see that. He's not nearly as fast, can't cut nearly as quickly. And he's had 2 NFL wide receivers on his team. You could say that as a knock against Joe Burrow back when he was at LSU, which would be obviously incorrect, but I don't know. You just the explosiveness just isn't really there. Drake May, wild, 24 touchdowns, 9 interceptions last year, which is a huge decrease from the year before. I frankly have no idea why he's being considering for the number 2 pick. I think it's because of his size, his rushing ability, and the fact that he's a like possible like, oh, if he becomes a good quarterback, he could become Justin Herbert. But Pro Football Focus had him as like the 16th best quarterback last year. At least Jaden Daniels, they have the first best quarterback last year. Like, are you really going to want to draft the 16th best quarterback at college football last year as the number 2 overall pick in the draft? Probably fucking not. Like, you're going to want to stay away from that with a 10-foot pole. So definitely not Drake May. I mean, Jaden Daniels, maybe. He had a great year, obviously. He at least gives you a chance. My personal opinion, I would trade back. I'm not really sure what you gave Sam Howell this year, if you gave him any chance. You gave him an offense that threw more than any other offense in the NFL. Worst offensive line in the NFL. Most sacks given up. The offensive line's so bad, they just decimated it yesterday. They're basically like, all right, let's start over. Got rid of Charles Leno, got rid of Nick Gates. Like, the team fucking sucked. Like, you're just going to throw Sam Howell away just because of this. Like, you're playing from behind every single game. I don't know. I mean, I don't think you need a quarterback right away. If you do, I would lean Jaden Daniels over Drake May for sure.
How do you feel about going further back and going to like a Bo Nix or something like that?
I feel great about Bo Nix. Michael Penix, you want to stay away from him. The injury history.
I mean, that championship game was brutal.
Championship game, but like 2 ACL injuries before you even leave college is like, if you have the pick of the litter, you're going to pick that guy.
Massive red flag.
Massive risk. On the same knee, nonetheless. So Bo Nix, I mean, Bo Nix has value. Like, you have the 40th overall pick, right? 36, for like, right around that area is where Bo Nix is. I don't understand the hype around J.J. McCarthy either. Like, I wouldn't draft someone who's thrown for less than 100 yards a game in college as my NFL quarterback personally.
Yeah, it was insane.
If someone wants to reach on him, like Denver, I think, projected to reach on him at 12, that's a really hot take in my opinion, but good for Denver. I would feel totally comfortable trading back, letting someone draft Jake May or Jaylen Daniels, and picking Bo Nix somewhere 36 or 40 in the second round. Have him compete with Sam Howell.
Yeah.
Bo Nix had a great year last year.
And there's a lot of good quarterbacks in this draft class, I believe, that you could get in the low rounds. Michael Penix comes to mind. The one thought I have with this new offense, Cliff Kingsbury's grew up on third base. He's had Caleb Williams, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, Johnny Manziel, and Patrick Mahomes as his recent quarterbacks that he's coached under. What's he going to do when he comes to camp with a not great quarterback? Will he be able to? Is he that good of an offensive coordinator?
Well,
or can he make these guys better?
I mean, I think that's where it helps, where he coached in college last year. He coached kids, basically. So if he can coach kids, granted Caleb Williams, yep. obviously, but like there were backups to Caleb Williams that he coached. He should be in a position to work with quarterback that's not your stereotypical, like, number one yeah. overall pick type guy. Like, I think Cliff Kingsbury is the right guy for the offense. But yeah, no, I think trade back. I think trade back, work with Bo Nix in the second round for some competition with Sam Howell. See what happens. I think that's a move. Or, Grant and I have talked about this before.
Trade
fucking
up.
Rip it and trade up for Caleb Williams because I think he is generational. Obviously, it depends what you'd have to give up. Bears said they want a quote-unquote historic haul for Caleb Williams.
I mean, we're starting off with giving them the number two pick in the draft, and so that's a pretty good, you know,
I mean, if you could swap and then give up maybe a second, maybe even a, like...
A first next year.
A first next year, 2025 first, 2024 first for their first this year, I would probably do that. Anything more... Fuck those guys. Yeah.
And right,
that's too much.
Looking at this point system, we have the number one pick is 3,000 points. Number two pick is 2,600. So on the point system, you should only need to give up roughly a second round pick to get Caleb Williams if you go off the point system.
Yeah, points are wrong though, Grant. I don't mean to put you on blast, but the points is like the most Grant way of thinking about it I've ever seen in my life. I mean, I love the statistical, analytical side of it, but we know that it's not rational when you're talking about trading up for a number one pick, potentially generational level talent.
So with that,
it's scary.
What are you willing to go over? Like two first rounders for Caleb Williams, a first rounder this year, first round next year? That's where I would probably be.
That's probably my max. That's probably what I'd max out at. You're
two firsts, you throwing in like a third?
No. Maybe a first in Jonathan Allen. Something like that. But
breaking up the best part of the team.
That's kind of what I think we are.
I mean, do you really want to build around two defensive tackles? Like,
right. You don't have much there.
Did either one of them make the Pro Bowl this year? I don't think so.
I don't know.
It's me. I don't know.
They were potentially Pro Bowlers in the years past. I know Jonathan Allen's made at least one.
Yeah.
I mean, we dropped our two edge guys, right? Now. Yeah.
No, I'm with you, Robert, and interesting to hear you talk about May because I kind of have similar concerns about Jaden Daniels. I mean, I think that the guy is incredibly talented. He just takes too many hits for me. And, like, there's a dynamic PTSD. Element that, like, helps. Yeah, exactly. There's a dynamic element that helps in college, but I worry when you put that in the NFL. We just saw it go south with RG3. I mean, like, I think that he was a more slender guy. Incredible athlete, somebody who could make every throw and do things on a football field that very few quarterbacks could. The 70-yard run against the Vikings that rookie season kind of comes to mind. But I just worry when I see Jaden Daniels take those hits in college that he's not looking to protect himself. I know it's something you can coach and teach, and you can't coach and teach stuff like arm talent and evasiveness and agility, but combining that with like how much it's been hit or miss for top quarterback talent over the past few years, it's scary as hell. You look at like the playoff teams from this past year, few had a guy that was drafted top 10 quarterback. There's a much larger set of guys. You go through these like Ravens, Lamar was drafted late round, first round still, but like later round. Bills, Josh Allen fell.
Yeah.
Chiefs, I mean, like, Mahomes is his own category, but not a huge top pick. Texans is one of the only guys that was, like, a top five pick. Browns kind of did it with Flacco out there as quarterback. Right.
Bring in Flacco. I mean, like,
they even drafted Baker Mayfield number one and then had to move on from him pretty quickly. Dolphins, Tua was kind of a top guy, but I think that we still have question marks about Tua on that team. Steelers went and got Kenny Pickett, but also have had misses at the quarterback position. Niners, Purdy, it's not even worth going into. Dak, Ben mentioned earlier, is kind of a later round guy. I think something like that. Lions, Goff is like an interesting character. He was a top flight pick, but then, you know, traded to another team from where he got drafted. Bucks, Baker Mayfield retread. Eagles, Jalen Hurts was a second round pick. Rams, Stafford, obviously number one, but then traded to another team. Packers, Jordan Love was kind of a later first round guy. So it's like, if you look at where those guys are getting drafted, there is a lot of first round talent in that group, but probably more than I was expecting as I was going to go through that list. But there are a few top five guys, at least that are like on the team that drafted them.
Yeah.
I think top five guys, Tua and CJ Stroud, the only dudes that were like top five guys that are still on the team that drafted them that make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I just see guys like Purdy, Kirk Cousins, and think it's about like shots on goal, getting opportunities for guys to compete at a quarterback position, spend a couple of late round picks with somebody who might not have the arm talent that May does, but maybe they end up being able to read the offense or read the defense a little bit better, figure out you know, where they're going to go to the ball.
And right, building teams, I guess, like Zach Wilson, number two overall pick, but did he really have an offense around him when he came into the league? And a coordinator that knew what he was doing to be successful probably is pretty important.
Yeah, like you have like game managers, like Brock Purdy to some degree, that's come in and done like an amazing job. And then you have maybe on the other side, like a Lamar Jackson, right? Who like the team runs through him being like an artist out there, right? It's like, how do we see ourselves kind of, you know, getting to that point? Do we have good enough coaching that we can handle someone like Lamar Jackson? Or do we need to do it through just like a solid GM and getting like a good group together? We seem to be able to pick up some good defensive talent, right?
Yep.
You know, you take people from Bama, Georgia, Virginia Tech, of course. But to try and find someone in the later rounds like Lamar Jackson, who's going to make plays with his legs, I think that that is even more hit or miss, right? And so maybe the idea of going to that like game manager type route could be the move. And if we're going to go that route, why go the way of the draft where you're getting, you know, 50% of your picks kind of pan out? Why not go to like a veteran that you know is a solid game manager and then just try to stack it with all of our draft picks, take all our money, make a beautiful offensive line? You know, you can get like cheap running backs, you can get cheap safeties, cheap linebackers, right? And you can do like the bend don't break defense that like the Patriots were kind of built off of, right? Like they're not like sack artists, right? But again, just like that game manager, and just wear teams down until you get yourself in a good position.
This might bring up Kirk Cousins. You kind of mentioned it. Do you bring in a game manager like Kirk Cousins, bringing that he's going to, you know, need $45, $50 million a year? Is that something, you know?
Is that game manager money, though?
Right.
Or is,
it all depends on what you're going to have to pay him.
Right.
If you're going to pay him $35 million a year, then sure.
Absolutely.
If you've got to pay him $50 million a year, no.
Because the point of a game manager is that you're building beautiful talent around him, right?
Right.
Is that their job is to just, as much as to throw touchdowns, it's to not throw an interception, right? It's to put up the 250 yards, two touchdowns, like... I don't want you to run out there and get crushed by the defense or anything like that. Like, I'm not asking you to do like too much, right?
You win a Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins, for sure.
I agree.
With the right team around him. With the right team around him. He's a win now guy.
Yeah, he is a win now guy. That's the thing.
Right.
So,
50 million.
It doesn't feel like we have a win now roster. Right. And we've got a ton of salary cap, as Ben kind of brought up early.
Mm.
One of the most in the league to be able to go out and get players. But I just worry, you know, with a win now guy, are we like fast forwarding the rebuilding process a little bit? Part of me is, you know, Robert brought it up, but it's like tear it down to the studs. Like I love Jonathan Allen. He's great. I love Payne in the middle. He's great. I love some of the, you know, Cameron Curl is a great guy that we got good value out of. But do you just try to sell all of those pieces, go all the way down to nothing? I'd like to keep McLaurin on the roster just in part because I think he's a good leader. But I'd be willing to do a full rebuild now that we have like the new ownership intact. There's a stadium off in the distance and say, we're trying to build this team to compete for a championship in 4 years.
Yeah. I mean, Miami Dolphins did it. Right. And they've kind of gone around in a good way.
I don't think they're really looking to like get too aggressive. I think they will draft a quarterback at two, but the way it doesn't really make sense. They're bringing in a quarterback, it seems like right now to fail. Like, to get rid of Charles Leno, to get rid of Nick Gates, two starting offensive linemen from last year, and then to have kind of a lack of skill positions, like players out, you get rid of Logan Thomas, you're starting tight end, so now you need a tight end. Like, I mean, you got to bring in people to like help your quarterback succeed at the end of the day. Like to draft a quarterback at two and like tear down your team simultaneously, I don't see the point in doing that. I think that makes sense if you want to trade out of two and then draft a Bo Nix type high upside player, maybe with one of those early second round picks for competition with Sam Howell. Maybe if you see something special there. But I don't think it makes sense. If you're really trying to tear it down, then you should trade back.
Totally agree.
And build pieces.
What do we think about Howell? I mean, I think kind of a weird year, right? I mean, Bieniemy came in really like highly rated as an offensive coordinator. I'll say I was not super impressed with the play calling. I mean, I think they had like one of the highest percentage of pass rates on the play calling in the league. We were playing from behind a lot, but there was a lot of games that I was watching. I was scratching my head where I was like, let's run Brian Robinson. Let's run Gibson. Like, let's get the ball moving and make it easier for, you know, third downs.
It's a young quarterback.
Chains. Right. Yeah, a young quarterback with a bad offensive line. How there were games that I thought that he was great. Like some of those two Eagles games where I was like, wow, he's making fantastic throws behind a horrible offensive line. And then there were other games where I thought that he was like one of the worst quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah.
Where I was like, he's in totally over his head. Bills game. Can't lead this team. Yeah. Oh, Bills game. Early in the season where it was like optimistic looking.
Oh, sure.
And then like late in the season, that Rams game, horrible. Like looked terrible in some of those games late in the season where it was just like, okay, maybe
it's well, if the run's not a threat, right? Then he's
run's
just
not a threat. He's essentially a rookie, like behind plant, maybe the worst offensive line in the NFL. Like, what? It's kind of unfair to grade the. I actually thought he did a great job for what he was dealing with.
I thought so too. Last year.
I mean, 4,000 yards, right? That's a good amount of mileage out there. And then 21 touchdowns. The issue is 21 interceptions, right?
But also the first starting quarterback for the Commanders start like all 18 entire season since Kirk Cousins. So like, good enough to make it through the season. Stat. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't think he's someone necessarily who, if you're in a true rebuild, which this is, you need to replace right away. Like, with, like, a Jaden Daniels, let's rip it with him and put him in a situation fail.
Oh, I agree. I mean, you can't really trade away Sam Howell, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to keep him for a little while, so keep him in there. And you've got Jacoby Brissett, who is, he's able to run a little bit. He's built like a linebacker, right? Like, he can take hits. And he is, like, one of those little bit, like, ultimate game managers as well, right? Like, I think Sam Howell can, like, learn with him if he gets, you know, if he gets benched, then you have a decent quarterback that comes in so that your team doesn't just, like, lose all faith. Right?
I was thinking, imagine this. Like, a trade with the Falcons, okay, trade back. You have the most cap space in the NFL. You just freed up $14 million yesterday. Mm. You go out, draft Joe Alt. You sign Tyron Smith, best pass blocking grade according to PFF.
I love that. Steal from the Cowboys, yeah.
Steal from the Cowboys. Love that. Now your tackles are Joe Alt and Tyron Smith. Like, now you have a team, an offense, like an offensive line that you can trust. Like, you keep supplementing through the draft, through free agency. Like, that, like, gives your team, with a new coaching staff, Cliff Kingsbury, like, that gives you, like, Sam Howell a chance to see, like, okay, what do we actually have? And bring in another quarterback as well at the start of the second round. Like, if there's someone you really like I think that system of firming up the offensive line first, accumulating even more first round picks, because to move, what are the Falcons? Eight
like, and 15.
Are they? If you move from 8 to 2, that's going to cost something. So, I mean, accumulate more first round picks. Like, I think that makes a lot of sense to me.
Now, can we use the money that we have right now to get some first-round picks? I know that that's not usually a way that people do that in the NFL, right? But we saw that before with, it wasn't it Osweiler and the Broncos, right? Where they gave Osweiler, I think, to the Houston Texans a while ago. And that was pretty much to get out of a giant contract, and they got a good pick out of it, right? We have a lot of money. There's got to be someone out there that, I know like Saints are way over on their cap right now. Jameis Winston, we bring him in, you know.
Oh yeah.
But there's got to be a few players out there that are getting way overpaid that people don't want anymore. You know, I mean, Deshaun from the Browns. I know they keep on saying they want to keep him, but think about all the dead money if they didn't want to keep him. There's no way they want to keep him. But to save face, they have to say they do.
Yeah.
Right. And so I kind of like the idea of push it even. If we're going to go down to the studs, then push the money down the line too, right? Yeah. Or use the money on something. I don't want to throw it to two or a few, like, you know, offensive tackles so that when we're ready to go to the Super Bowl in 4 years, those guys are going to ask for so much money that we have to strip our roster again, right? Mm-hmm. So let's I want to have 2 years of an unbelievable, like, draft talent, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a little bit of, like, what Miami Dolphins did.
Yeah.
Is that they just, like, they went to the wall as hard as they could, and then they were just like, I'm going to get a couple years of, like, back-to-back two first-round draft picks, mm-hmm. right? And they aren't spending money, so a huge cap that they have to cover, too.
It's a good point. I think that, I mean, using salary cap as a way to build draft equity, something super common in the NBA, less common in the NFL, but I think that there is an opportunity there. I think one of the concerns that I have with the salary cap space is that salary cap jumped this year.
Yeah, 30 million.
Yeah, yep. Bumping up significantly. So we're not the only ones that are going to have a lot of money to spend. It might actually be an opportunity to sign some, like, short contract guys, 1 or 2 years, have that come off the books. But don't overpay. Don't feel like you have to staff or, like, use all of the money now in win now guys, like, that are at the prime of their career. I think that there's a longer game for the Commanders that we need to be thinking about. And it didn't come up about what we're most excited about, but I think Adam Peters is going to be an effective general manager. I think for the first time I have really good confidence in somebody who's making the player personnel decisions at the top. He has his own blemishes and, you know, issues along the way. I mean, Trey Lance is obviously something that big whiff, but I think that's going to inform his decision-making and consideration about what we do at two, seeing what happened with Trey Lance, and building that team into a Super Bowl contender with a quarterback that's not a top-flight heralded guy. I mean, they thought that they were going to do that with Trey Lance, but they were able to get to where they wanted to go without him working out. So you don't have to make a big risk like that.
All right, do we have some final answers on what we want to do with the second pick in the draft?
I've already given what I said.
So. Okay. Give us a little recap.
Trade down.
I would trade down or trade up.
Now, and what are we going to do about the QB situation? Just stick with Sam Howell?
Sam Howell, I would draft Bo Nix as well in one of the early second round picks.
Got it. Yeah, I think I've got to be on board with the trade down. I mean, I would love to just get Marvin Harrison, right, and have two wide receivers that are just vicious. Because I do also believe in the fact that if you have a position that is just so much better than anyone else in the NFL, then you can win that way too. Like, they're not going to have two quarterbacks that can cover those guys, but again, you have to have someone to throw to them. And so I'm a trade down and look to the future type of guy.
I think it's a good call. I don't want to go and just, like, rubber stamp everything, but I think conversation has even convinced me in the way. I mean, I've been going back and forth over the past few weeks where it's like I first thought trade down was the only way to make this happen. I then got really excited about Drake May and thought, you know, there's a few opportunities to draft this high. Got to make the most of it. A really good quarterback changes your franchise for a long period of time. Let's take the opportunity. Digging into the tape a little bit more and seeing what people are excited about with Drake May. Arm talent is incredible. I just don't know about, you know, decision making and him guiding the team moving forward. I mean, it's arm talent is one thing, but I don't think that that's the differentiator for good quarterbacks.
He looked bad quarterbacks in his last two games.
Yeah, he did
really bad
against bad teams. Against, like,
people. He lost DBA.
Yeah, teams that don't have good NFL level talent on the roster, and so that's what gives me pause. I'd like to trade down as well, accumulate more draft capital. There's a lot of needs on this team. Talent level's not where it needs to be a competitive football team. I think if you have the opportunity, if somebody's jazzed and feels like they need to move on from their quarterback, like the Falcons, I know the Broncos are strapped on draft capital, but, you know, they're trying to move on from Russ. I'd be really interested in a trade down prospect. And I'm with Robert, like, take somebody. I would look even later in the draft, like fourth round, fifth round, bring somebody in that can compete with Hal, see who's there and who wins that competition and start with whoever feels good. Maybe bring back Brissett on another 1 year contract. I know that he's a free agent. There's other guys like that are bouncing around the league that if you really need to turn to somebody just to steady the ship, then you have somebody who's a little bit more tenured and can teach these young guys like what it means to be an actual NFL quarterback. But I think that that's where you need to go. I think it's like bring another young guy in, have a competition with Sam Howell, and this isn't a, you know, issue that needs to be solved this offseason. This is a longer term question for the Commanders, and this is a longer term trajectory, and I think they got to zoom out and take that longer term perspective.
All right, I think we'll wrap this up with a little buy, sell, or hold rapid fire round. We'll go around the room. First, Ben, do we think we're going to bring back, buy, or sell, or hold, bring back Kirk Cousins?
I'm going to say buy under 40 million.
Sure.
Does Robert? Wild.
Buy under 35.
I'm selling this idea. I love Kirk.
It would have to be at quite the discount.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kirk's going to ask for more than what I would be willing to buy him
for. I mean, he's doing a great job of getting money for himself. And I love the guy.
Oh, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. We are high on Kirk Cousins.
But I see Gardner Minshew out there.
For sure. We helped him along the way there. That double franchise tag. Like, absolutely. I think that helped him get some serious money. He proved himself as like a real NFL starting quarterback here at DC. I nothing but respect for Kirk Cousins and what he's been able to do with his career, but I would not like to see him in the burgundy and gold again. I think that there's other places where he could go, have a more effective team, better for him, better for the organization. I'm selling on bringing Kirk Cousins back.
Next question. By
wait, Grant, what are you going
to
do?
Yeah,
oh,
Grant.
Oh,
yeah. I know you're the 49ers host, guy.
Like, he doesn't have to share his opinion.
Yeah. Come on. Excuse me. I'm going to sell bring back Kirk Cousins. I'm really buying into Robert's sell down. You tank the team. You build it from the core inside out. And you do it through a couple years of draft capital. Russell Wilson's name brought up. You bring in Russell Wilson on a horrible contract. Who's going to take up a lot of your cap for the next couple of years, but you can hopefully get a first or maybe two first rounders from the Broncos for him. So we'll see. Yeah. Next one, re-signing Kendall Fuller.
This one's near and dear to Grant's heart. I know, as a Hokie.
Sorry, Grant.
Turned commander.
Get rid of him.
I mean, so from my point of view,
what is he going to ask for?
The market is going to be key, right?
Yeah, and I don't think he's going to ask for much. I don't think he's been doing very well over the past few years, as well as, you know, another team would want to pick him up. He's aging, right? And when you look at like a cornerback and you look at age, I think people get scared by that.
Nickel corner too,
right? Exactly. Wow. And I think he's a leader on our team, right? I think that's probably why we brought him back. I'm also a tech guy, so I've fallen in love with him a long time ago.
You're right. I was just going to say, it's really tough. LeJarvis Sneed is projected to get $11.8 million per year, who we just saw him kind of lock down everyone he went against in the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl run.
He's
versus
a great cornerback.
Versus I take LeJarvis Sneed over Kendall Fuller.
Kendall Fuller is going to be
any day of the week. Yeah.
Looking for $14 million. Yeah. And that's tough.
2 years younger.
He's not going to get that.
And I think there's another good cornerback on the roster, like Johnson out of Chicago.
Yep,
Jalen Johnson. So it's like the third cornerback, like in the cornerback market. Cornerback's obviously huge premium now with how much passing's going on in the NFL. I see important value in sharing up that position, but again, it's like I worry about how much salary cap space almost all of these teams have, and if you're a team that needs a nickel corner or somebody to be able to come in and play right away, I think that people are going to be willing to pay a premium for Kendall Fuller. And so, as much as I've loved his second run here with the Commanders, I think you got to move on.
I mean, can you handle him going back to Kansas City though?
And winning it at
a cheaper contract, winning it all, absolutely.
and then coming back for a third time
and get paid more. I think we just keep him on the team because we can honestly just kind of phase out his career a little bit, right? Like he is not going to get the contract that he kind of wants from anyone if he kind of stays on the Commanders now, right? But I'm looking at Ladarius Sneed on the Kansas City Chiefs, just won a Super Bowl, and all I'm thinking right now is that we're going to sell Fuller to Kansas City. We're going to buy Sneed high, the exact same thing that we just did with Kendall Fuller, and then they're going to flip him back on us. Absolutely.
And they're going to win with Kendall Fuller.
And they're going to win with Kendall Fuller.
And then they're going to flip him again.
Right. Yes. And disaster. I know that me and Grant joke a little bit here as we buy high, sell low.
Right.
And by God, let's not do it with the Commanders again.
Yeah. Right?
Not with the exact same team.
Next buy, sell, hold. Josh Harris as an owner so far. You know, just a little bit of context. Just kind of came out. Josh Harris has been sitting in on every QB meeting that the GM and head coach has. A little bit unorthodox, but buy, sell, hold so far. It's been short tenure, but yeah.
How could you not buy?
Right, he's rich.
If someone's going to say that they're not buying anyone but Dan Snyder as an owner, I think you're a crazy person.
Sure.
Anyone. Oh. It could be anyone's name.
Buy. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, he's shown, you know, passion,
for the team.
He's
buying beers at the bullpen.
Exactly, right.
Yeah, much better.
Right. Yep. And I mean, beers at the bullpen cost him, what, like $10,000 to do? Like, pretty much nothing. Like one of us buying like a $5 beer for each other, right? Compared to this guy. But that is the type of, like, you know, we kind of started this off by saying the Commanders were in a bad place for 20 years, right? Under Snyder. Mm-hmm. And this guy... 25, right, yeah. And this guy is coming in and he's buying light beers for people in the city.
Right.
And people are going crazy about it, right? Yep. Like,
that is what Dan Snyder did to the city.
Yes. Let's not switch ownership again. Let's get, like, he has an idea of bringing the Commanders back in the city by putting in a little bit of money, right? And he is a fan of the Commanders.
He's
right?
a fan. He
grew up in the area.
Chevy Chase guy.
Yeah.
D&D local.
He's done it elsewhere. So
yeah, an effective owner elsewhere.
He's been effective in other sports. So
yeah, I'm gonna buy this as well, and I'd even broaden it out. This Harris is like the managing partner, so he's the highest percentage, but he only owns like 30% of the team. This is like an ownership group in a way that we haven't had in DC for a long time. Across almost all of our professional sports teams. I won't talk about the DC United situation because that's a little bit complicated. But like Leontis, Snyder, the Lerner family own huge percentages, are able to make, I think almost all the percentage for each one of those, make the decisions unilaterally. This is an ownership by committee situation with Josh Harris, Mitch Rales, Mark Ein, Magic Johnson is included in the ownership group. And so this isn't about one person's, you know, weird takes or their personal preference. This is like run like a true organization, like run like a true company where like you have to get buy-in from other people. You have to present a plan. You've got to get like voting ownership stakes on big decisions. And I think that I trust Josh Harris to be that lead partner. And I trust the ownership group to run the team in a very effective, reasonable, mature way, which is just a shocking difference from where we've been for the last decade, 2.5 decades. So I'm going to buy it. I really love stuff that they've been doing. Even they finished closing the deal on the team in August or something like that. Even when it came to training camp, they like put some money into the stands. Mm-hmm. They bought beers for people at the bullpen. They're putting some tens of millions of dollars into FedEx just to make it like a tenable place for people over the next few years as they figure out the next move on the stadium. The maturity that they bring into that. Bringing in guys to help the coach hiring process and GM hiring process, Bob Myers and others, people from other walks of life in the sports world. I think it's been impressive how they've been handling it. And I did see the reports about him being in the quarterback meetings. Think that was kind of weird. Not really sure how to think about it. He's hands-on and he cares. And I think that's one of the concerns that I had about him as a managing partner, knowing that he does have interest in the Sixers, interest in the New Jersey Devils, wondering how much he's going to focus on what's going on in the Commanders. But I think when it gets down to it, it's like the money that he had to put up for the Commanders and what the NFL means, that's going to draw his attention more than anything else. And so I'm very excited about how they've been handling it, Josh Harris and the other partners, over the past, you know, what, 9 months since they kind of acquired the team. So
they got passion.
That's the most encouraging part of it for sure.
Yeah. And we got to be a little bit of like a passion city too, right? We are not like LA, right? We're not like New York where it's just like, you don't need passion there, right? You've got like, you know, you've got like Dallas Cowboys. Like it's just people already like fall in love. Like we're more of a, we need to have the vibe of like Philadelphia, right?
Sure. You got to win back the fans.
You got to win back the fans. And I think that's how we're going to do it. We are a, you know, buy beer for each other. Like, I actually love the fact that he was sitting in the quarterback room.
Yeah.
That means that he is going to hold.
He's invested.
Right. It means
as long
he cares.
As he's not making the final decision.
Exactly. The red flag why he said that was just David Tepper with the Panthers has come out and said
David.
It's probably more of a yellow
Tepper's
flag
the
or
worst owner
right.
He's the new Dan Snyder.
Right. He's the new Dan Snyder, but he's quite hands on. And it's like, okay, do you want
to
hands-on
so good
owner?
To be able to laugh at somebody else's owner now.
It does feel nice. Yes.
It's not a feeling that I've ever felt as a Commanders fan, but to be able to look at Tepper or how Jerry Jones is running his team or anybody else and be like, wow, those guys are knuckleheads is just a huge change from where we've been in the past.
Right. You know what I love, too, is actually on this list that we had up here earlier is the Commanders, I think, were like number two in franchise. Or we were number one at $741 million like in 2000. Panthers were up there at over a half a billion.
Shocking. And that was like only a few years after the expansion. Which
yeah.
is kind of crazy.
They made it the Super Bowl around that time.
Yeah.
And they're just one of those teams I can't imagine that they're worth that much more now. I mean, Robert, you are
from Charlotte.
A Charlotte guy.
No, most people in Charlotte are either Falcons or Commanders fans. So, kind of surprised me.
All right, another ownership scenario.
2000.
Yeah,
wild ownership. Time. The only other thing that I'd add is that, like, and we've been talking about it, but, like, in terms of, like, re-energizing the franchise, I think that that's the number one thing. You know, the DC Sports, long-suffering on the Wizards side, have had success at the Capitals and Nats. But nothing brings the city together like the Commanders. There's just something else about that. It's something, across different socioeconomic classes, around different like worldviews, different perspectives, the state lines, DC, Maryland, Virginia. The one thing that I think that people get most fired up about is the Commanders, and it has like a higher level opportunity than anything else that's out there in terms of like energizing the city. When they're good, you feel it. After Commanders win, you feel it on the streets. There's people wearing the colors.
We're in the
a
colors.
Level
right.
of excitement.
No logos ever for a DC
Absolutely.
Team. We
no,
must have like Wizards.
We do
like,
have to
what
get
is
a logo
that?
At some point.
Right.
Yeah. so I'd like to get your guys' take on it because I think it's an important thing as we look forward. Like we've been through a lot of transition over the past 4 years. I think we've had three names in 4 years.
Sure.
Redskins originally, Washington Football Team, now the Commanders. How do you guys feel about the name?
It's a terrible name. I don't know what it's done.
I'm with Robert. It's a bad name.
It's a bad name. Do you switch it again? Do you embrace it? I don't know.
It's still fresh. Ink is still wet. You can kind of like, smear it a little big if you wanted to. It's obviously a vestige. One of the last big decisions that the old ownership group made before the sale.
I think Josh Harris said they're sticking with it.
Isn't he known for not wearing any memorabilia though?
Commanders.
Like Commanders memorabilia, yeah.
Right.
He is.
That's been the party line to date is that we're not switching it. If it's not broke, don't fix it.
Sure.
It's like a little bit over militaristic for my take. I mean, I support the troops more than anybody else, but it's like
it's on the record.
On the record. on the record to support the troops more than anybody else. But like I don't need that on my football team. There's one
it's a bad name.
In my mind that I would rather than be.
There's a lot of names. I would just rather than pick an animal.
Pick any animal. Pick honestly, any animal. I kind of loved the football team. I thought that was actually, like, in the beginning, it was, like, sort of like nothing. But then I thought that was actually a little bit, like, powerful. Like, it's, like, kind of cool, you know? Like, we just became the football team. And
I hated that. I hated
just,
the football team.
Just Washington, plain logo. Like, maybe the team's not about the logo. Like, if you're going to make kind of that stance, then make that
the Commanders
stance.
Commanders feels like the Washington football team. Like, they didn't want to change the logo. Like,
exactly. I hate the fact that we went Commanders because I feel like that
and
was
didn't
a...
change the logo at all.
Do they have to change the colors or is it always going to be burning?
No, I think you have to keep the colors.
You have to keep the colors.
I think that's the number one thing. Got to keep
colors
the colors. So I have one that I was floated as they were deciding Commanders. I'm going to be interested in your take. And it's not going to be shocking to anybody. But to me, it's got to be Red Wolves.
I like that.
It keeps like the red blank.
I was hearing Red Hawks. So, yeah.
Red Hawks, Red Wolves.
Yeah. Red Hawks, and this is going to be like a little zesty, so it might be something that we have to cut in post. Like,
post editing. Here we go.
I don't know if you take, one racially charged name and then go to another racially charged name. Red Tails is like an homage to the World War II, African American, like jet fighters. Like, and there's some element of like bridging, you know, the racial diversity that's in the D.C. area, known as Chocolate City for a long time. But I don't know if you want to pivot from one racially charged name to another racially charged name, even if it's positive.
Right.
Right.
Like, is it at the end of the day just about football?
Right.
Washington football
Bring
team.
Bring people together.
Right.
Yeah, that's boring as fuck, Ben. I'm sorry, man.
I like that.
The Wolves, it's like a well-known sports name, and you're just the Wolves.
Yeah.
But if you're like the Red Wolves, then that's like, it's an homage to the past. It connects to like the history. You can keep the colors.
Mm.
Red Wolves is like a species of wolf that's like semi-endangered. It's like in the Appalachian area.
You can
area
definitely tell
whatever,
that the new ownership group does not love the name. But I don't think they're going to change it. I don't think so.
It's one of those issues, like, do you want to touch, right? Like, just move along. Like, let's focus on football for a little bit.
Focus on football.
The past, like, 5 years. Right. I mean, like, talk about, like, Dan Snyder, like, going out in, like, a kind of a Dan Snyder way, right?
Right.
It's, like, change the name 3 times before you leave. Like, what are you doing, man? Right? Like, if you're going to make the decision to change it, or don't let the next regime come in and change it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, at this point, I'm done with it. Just keep it, move along.
Yeah. I think we've been talking a lot about tear it down. We're going to go from the studs up. We have a new stadium coming. Why not just do it all kind of at once? Try to sync everything together. You're going to get the new stadium in, change the name at the same time, and hopefully by then you have a franchise quarterback. Kind of all coming together 2025, 2026.
Honestly, I think the good news is, like, I think we're all very indifferent on the name.
Okay.
Like, which is how it should be.
Right.
Like, you should focus on the team.
Sure.
Whereas, like, in the last regime, it was all about what's the name going to be, what's this, that. Like, it was distractions. Like, the good news is, I don't give a fuck what they call themselves, like, as long as they win, basically.
Yep.
And I'm with you.
Yeah.
It's an interesting question about how the ownership group thinks about spending money.
Hmm.
And, like, they've shown a willingness to spend money, as I said, like, to repair some of the FedEx stuff that, like, needed to, because it was just, like, horrible, you know, like, leaking sewage and stuff during the game. Fans falling on Jalen Hurts or whatever afterwards. Like, it needed money just to be a bare minimum level stadium. And changing a name is probably like tens of millions in outlay of money. I mean, like, you put like a big, you know, advertising firm behind it, creative firm, try to figure out what the logo looks like. You've got to like redevelop and re-sign everything in the stadium, the practice facility, all of that stuff. It's optional for sure. It's not necessary, as we were kind of all talking about. But it's like, how much money on top of what they need to spend to just be bare minimum level are they willing to put in to like put their own mark on the organization? So like that's kind of the prism that I would look at it from.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you have to wait until the team's also in a little bit more of a winning zone. You don't want like a new name, a new team to come in, and then all of a sudden you have 5 years of just being bad,
being horrible,
right? And so maybe they're waiting on something like that. But I do also love the idea of like, do not spend your time like coming in and trying to spend our money on a new team when we've got almost $100 million in cap space you have to spend. Let's spend that first, right?
Spend that first.
Yeah, let's get some good teams together, and then let's talk, you know, the rest of it.
Anything else to hit on? I think we've touched on a lot of subjects out here. Anything else? Or
now Grant, your buy, sell, hold. You stole a player from us, you know, at the end of the year. Chase Young.
Chase Young.
Yep.
Chase Young. Okay.
Bring him back.
I am huge. I need to stop the run. My defense needs to be able to stop the run. I could care if Patrick Mahomes throws for 3,000 yards against me, but you need to be able to stop the run. Chase Young cannot stop the run to save his goddamn life. Chase Young's dead to me. He should be, honestly, probably out of the league at this point. Who wants him to just be able to get a couple sacks a year? He needs to be able to stop the run, and he can't do that. Hasn't shown he's been able to do that in 5 years. He's done.
He's a sell.
Hard sell.
What is this free agent penny list sell that you're showing? This is like the NFL Network free agent, like top whatever.
Right.
This is our CBS Sports. This is unbelievable that Chase Young is even anywhere on this list. If you scroll down, he's like at the like 15 spot, 16?
16.
This is unbelievable. He's 2 spots behind Leonard Williams. Leonard Williams is great.
Yeah.
Right. Leonard Williams, I think, got traded for a second or a first round draft pick during this season. Chase Young, he's young still. Yeah, sure, he's 24.
And the fact that you can get Bryce Huff for cheaper than Chase Young somehow. Bryce Huff is a far better player.
Way better.
Chase Young had his opportunity. You could say the Commanders' defense didn't know what to do with him, even though he's playing with a great defensive line. You would think he'd be getting, you know, one-on-ones left and right. He went to the 49ers. The 49ers, he looked awful. He was the liability of the defense. So, I don't understand how he's anywhere close to $13 million a year. The team would be crazy to.
I think best case scenario, he ends up kind of like Clowney, right?
Yeah,
is like some guy bouncing that went way short-term high. Short term contracts, right? Like they, when you talk about Chase Young, you're talking about a guy that's going to go in there and he is huge, right? He's like
a specimen, get a couple sacks
right?
a year,
and he'll get a couple sacks, right? But he goes in with no plan. No. Right, like he doesn't know which way he's going on the offensive tackle. In his mind, he's like, "I'm big and I'm going to overpower you," which is
which worked in college.
Which worked in college. It just doesn't really with the best NFL teams. And so I think even at this young age, he's this just clowny guy. He's going to go around and just get 1 year contracts and try to land himself on a Super Bowl winning team.
It's a great comp because Clowny, I think, got more out of a single play than anybody else in their career than Chase Young, and I think that he's number two. The Clowney that hit versus Michigan and whatever bowl game that was where he just like decapitated the dude and like fumble and picked it up with one hand.
Great highlight.
Incredible highlight. And it was like, oh my God, this guy is like the best player, most athletic defensive end I've ever seen in my life. And Chase Young kind of had the same thing with like the scoop and score against the 49ers his rookie year. And this like validated the number two pick. He made the Pro Bowl, you know, was considered this like great defensive end. It's just not there at the level of consistency that it needs to be.
Yeah.
It's just not there.
And can we handle a number two pick? Wow.
Right.
Right? Thinking back, that is our last number two pick. We just had one, right? And we couldn't do anything there. So I think as a show, we got to trade back, guys.
Can't handle the number two pick?
Yeah. If there's any reason to trade back, it's just because we can't handle it.
We can't handle it,
We don't know what to do. Right. Just get the fuck out of there. Mm-hmm.
All right, boys, we've had a great conversation, hit on a lot of different topics about the Commanders football, NFL draft, what the Commanders should be doing with the number two pick. Can't thank you guys enough for coming on. Anything else from you guys?
No, I think I think we kind of hit the topics here. Grant, you are all about the looks, right?
Yes, and, absolutely.
I think that's one thing clear.
Number one trade.
Spend money. Yeah.
Totally. No, appreciate talking Commanders football with you guys. Hopefully more conversations to come.
Yeah.
Wide range. We'll see what happens in the combine, the draft as that gets closer in April. And yeah, looking forward to what the offseason moves for the Commanders look like. Got to come back and revisit whenever there's a good milestone for us to check in on. But always good talking through. I think Robert won me over on this trade back idea. Really feeling that. And I think that we identified some good free agent targets for the team. Interesting to chop it up. Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Shout out to our sponsors.
Yeah.
Thank you for
shout out to the sponsors.
All right. Thanks,
always.
Buddy. Yeah.
Bye.
All right. Catch ya. Yeah, I've been throwing that whiskey. How to get my money back? Someone said it turns a memory. Oh, but it ain't doing jack.
Faded is me. I need something you prove. something stronger than